Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Steve Potter is one of the most familiar voices on this station and has been for the past 16 years. Today is Steve's last day behind the microphone at St. Louis Public Radio as he prepares to smell the roses. It will leave a gap in this program on which he has served as a contributing host, and Steve joins me in studio to spend a few minutes looking back and ahead. But before we talk to Steve, let's listen to some examples of his work.
I'm Steve St. Louis Symphony Principal... Ugh, I'll come back from the grave and haunt you. St. Louis Symphony Principal Clarinetist... I'll try that one more time. St. Louis Symphony Principal... The guy that plays the clarinet for the symphony will have a performance. People can't figure it out. Speaking of margaritas, I did have some last night. I basically live for Alex. Alex's approval. Yeah, I know. I'm a man trapped in a woman's body. Wow, you don't even have to edit that one. Wow, I've had about all I can take. Actually, I think today's show might not be too bad. It'd be a bumper sticker for my show. Today might not stink.
That's contributor Steve Potty talking with... Save that one for the file. Oh, my. Oh, my is correct, Steve. It happens to everybody.
All of a sudden, I feel much less professional than I did when I walked in.
Well, you know, we were looking for some of the best memorable moments, and this was the best we could come up with.
Well, thank you for humiliating me in public. No, that's kind of funny. Yeah, people don't realize what happens when the mics are on but we're not on the air.
Well, they do now.
Yeah.
They know about it now.
And it's so weird sitting on this side of the table, Don.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you here on this last day. How does it feel? I hate that question. That's a television question.
Have you ever heard the term emotional roller coaster?
I have.
Double that, and that's what you got.
Really?
Yeah, but it is really, it's sort of meaningful, believe this or not. You won't even know this. It really means a lot to be here with you because you are one of my first St. Louis memories years before I ever knew you, media related. Oh. Do you want to hear the story?
Or? Well, as long as you don't take it back too far.
This will only embarrass me, not you.
Oh, great.
No, I'd only been in radio a couple of years in Kentucky, and I decided I was ready for the big time. And so I was visiting my grandmother in St. Louis once. I was like 30 years old or something, 31. And an old fraternity brother of mine was living here, and we got together, and he said, why don't you can come stay, live with me for free and look for a job in the big city. So I did, and of course, no one would hire me with 2 years' experience from Kentucky. But I ended up living with my grandmother then. I remember after looking for jobs, I'd come home every day and sit in her room, and you'd be anchoring. I'd watch the evening news, and you'd be anchoring that. Huh. And so how funny that my first experience with kind of living and searching for a media job in St. Louis ends and begins with you.
Well, you didn't set the bar very high, I have to say.
Well, that explains a lot.
Yeah.
Well, and one other thing happened. I just want to go back and remember that. The first person to put me on the air in St. Louis, and it's funny because he didn't know my name and I didn't get paid for it. Ron Ells?
Oh, sure. Johnny Rabbit.
Johnny Rabbit, he's on KMOX now. When I was done watching you on TV, I finally got an internship at KXOK. Of course, it didn't pay anything, but I thought I could make contacts and maybe get a job. And I did things like make coffee and refilled the paper, the copier, and all that sort of thing. Well, I didn't know him at all. He was just the guy on the air. Kay Quinn was doing news there at the old KXOK, and he was hosting the afternoon show or something. And I was walking by the studio as an intern, and he just noticed me, and he called me in, just anonymous intern, and he sat me down and he interviewed me for 5 minutes. So,
what was the allure of radio back then? I mean, obviously you worked very hard to get into the business.
Well, you know, I didn't do it till late in life. I didn't realize that I wanted to do it. I didn't get into radio till my late 20s. I did politics and things before that. But then I realized after I did it, I'd always had a love for it because I spent the last half of grade school in junior high on the Jersey Shore, about 30, 40 minutes south of New York City. And as a kid, I would go to bed at night, and I had a hidden transistor radio because my parents, you know, expect me to go to bed. But I kept a hidden transistor radio under my pillow, and I would listen to talk radio from New York late at night in like 1965 and 6 when I was 10, 11 years old. And I realized my love for it went back to that.
Yeah. Well, there's another connection between us. I grew up in New Jersey, as you
right.
know, so we have that connection as well.
Mm-hmm.
What are the plans?
Well, immediately following my shift tonight at 7, I'm going to go out to my car in the parking lot and probably cry for a couple of minutes. And then I'm going to go home and sit in a dark room and wait for the phone to ring. That's about all the plans I have.
Are you expecting a call from anyone in particular?
No, but feel free to call me if you want.
Well, I'll definitely give you a, give you a call. We have some clips that you have selected that you reflected upon your years here, and they were the big moments for you.
You know, I hosted Cityscape for 11 years, and I really didn't think about it until we printed out the list of all the interviews I'd done. I just couldn't believe how – boy, does that add up.
Oh, yeah.
So there were a lot. And, you know, I don't know which one to start with. Let's see. Let's talk about Jennifer Holliday.
All right.
Because it's just kind of funny. You know her, of course.
Sure.
She was in town doing, was it Dream? What did she bring to the Muni?
Yeah,
I think it was the last time she was going to do it.
Yeah.
And she was staying at the Chase Park Plaza, and Mary Edwards, the producer here, loaded up the truck and her car, actually. And I was going to go down and interview her for a segment on Cityscape. And I was really excited about it because I'd been a fan of hers for a long time. And there was some sort of event that had been here earlier in the day. And, you know, down in the kitchen, sometimes if there's an event, there are leftover food sitting out.
Mm-hmm.
And there was gooey butter cake there. And I thought, that's such a St. Louis thing. Wouldn't it be neat if I took her some gooey butter cake just to welcome her to St. Louis? So I cut a little piece and wrapped it up. And I conducted my whole interview, and at the very end, I gave her a piece. But then I really felt bad about it later. But anyway, we have a clip. This is after the whole interview, and I think I just pull out this gooey butter cake out of my suitcase, and I do this on the air. I know you're not familiar with gooey butter cake. We're famous.
I'm gonna eat some tonight.
I brought you some.
I'm gonna eat me some gooey butter cake tonight. I thank you so much for it, and I love tea. I'm a tea drinker, so it's going to taste perfect with my English Earl Grey tea.
Jennifer Holliday, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, the thing about that was, you know, I did that, and later I thought, she doesn't know me from Adam. A stranger gives you food. You probably just throw it away, right?
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know. So I thought, you know, so a couple of months went by, and I ran into some people at the Muni who worked there. And I just kind of mentioned it. I said, oh, I gave – they said she talked about it for weeks. They said when she was done with what you gave her, she sent out for some somewhere else a couple days later. Then she ended up getting the recipe. And I felt bad about that for years because, you know, she used to be very heavy,
mm-hmm.
obese, and she lost 100 pounds, 200 pounds, whatever it was. And I thought, wonder if I sent her on the trajectory of weight gain by turning her on to gooey butter cake. So I've worried about that.
Well, I think you'll get over it. You have time to get over it now. So she started gaining weight after your gooey.
No, this was way before. She was thin then. I had this guilt about that, but I'm not really worried about it now.
Well, that was done in July of 2012. That's going back 4 or 5 years already.
But, you know, speaking of food, what's great about Cityscape, and you know it too from being an interviewer, you meet the most interesting people and you have such a wide range of experiences. And so we go from gooey butter cake. I've done everything from interview celebrities on the show to eat bugs on the air.
Really?
Yes. There was this exhibit. It was at the St. Louis Science Center. And I don't remember exactly what it was about, but part of it was that people used bugs to make things like salsa and cookies. So we were going to do a segment on Cityscape, and the guy came and brought different food items with actual bugs in it. I didn't know it ahead of time. And this happened on the air. Looks really nice until I pick up the cookie and I see, no, that's not a chocolate chip sticking out of the top. That's part of a bug wing.
Yes, it is. It's a cricket wing. We take all the legs and the antennas off of them so they don't get stuck in your teeth, but they are completely edible.
Don't think I don't appreciate that.
Yes, yes.
So I should try this.
Yes, yes. Have a little nibble.
Is there chocolate in this too?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. They're in there. It's chocolate chips and roasted crickets.
Now, am I supposed to taste the cricket?
Not really.
Do bugs have taste? If they don't have taste, why are we eating them?
Well, they do have taste. They tend to have a nutty flavor to them.
Some people would say you'd have to be one to eat this.
Exactly, and I get that a lot too.
All right, next.
Okay, the next thing is the banana cricket fritters. Now,
these are these little things that look like mini French fries.
No. This is the banana cricket fritter.
Oh, with the sugar on top?
Yes. It's a banana fritter with roasted crickets inside. They're normally served warm. I didn't have a chance to warm them up, but taste good.
I didn't get enough crickets in the chocolate chip cookie, right.
Right. It's got.
So, anything you want to tell me about this before I try?
No, it's just got a slice of banana in there and some roasted crickets, so you get that banana nutty flavor, and it's a crispy donut flavor.
Uh huh. That's cricket, all right.
Mm-hmm. You got some cricket in there? Oh, man, your face is priceless.
You're talking with your mouth full, Steve.
So, Don, what are you doing for lunch?
No, thank you. I remember hearing Veronique LaCapra, our former science reporter, when she was eating locusts.
Yeah.
that did me in.
I haven't had bugs since, but.
Yeah. Well, you're a braver man than I am, Steve. Mm-hmm. I have to give you that. I would not have.
Do anything for my job, Don. I am that dedicated.
Well, now what are you going to do with all this spare time? not eat bugs.
No.
I know. You had an opportunity also, I know, to talk with a fan favorite, anyone in the field of acting and television and movies. That was Hal Holbrook.
Let me tell you that story. He meeting him, and I interviewed him twice on two different occasions. And once I went up to Hannibal, but anyway.
That's the best place to meet him.
Yeah.
As much as he does Mark Twain.
Well, I'll get to that, but it all goes back to like 1972. I think I was a sophomore in high school. I was a member of the history club, and we used to do things. And in 1972, we took a road trip. I went to high school in Springfield, Missouri. And we took a road trip to Kiel Auditorium to see Hal Holbrook in Mark Twain Tonight, 1972. Mm-hmm. And we had a real close seat, and it just affected me. I never forgot it. So zip ahead 30 years. Mm-hmm. And they contact me, and I end up going up to Hannibal. He's going there to do Mark Twain Tonight and receive, I think the governor gave him some sort of award. I can't remember what it was. So I went up and I led I did an interview with him in front of a live audience, and it was really fun. And after the interview was over, we were up on a balcony, so we had to go down to the reception where everybody was. So it was just the two of us. And we walked down a hall and we're talking. He was so nice. When we were done, he said, I really, really enjoyed that. He goes, you are so much fun to talk to. And we got in the elevator. And it seemed like forever, but we had this really personal conversation. It was getting close to the holidays, and I asked him where he was going. He was going to see Dixie's relatives in New York.
His wife.
Right, Dixie Carter. Mm-hmm. And I was going to see my dad, and we talked about it, and just had this little personal moment. It's little things like that I'll never forget.
Yeah.
But at any rate, we have a clip. I think he's talking about this was, I think, in another interview when I interviewed him here on the radio, but he was talking about the state of democracy in the United States, and I don't know. Politics hasn't been in the news a lot, Don. I don't know if you know that.
Haven't been paying much attention, but I'll take your word for it.
Well, this was his take on it a few years ago. One final question for you. If Mark Twain were alive today, what do you think he'd think about our politics today? He was quite outspoken in his day.
I think Mark Twain would be disgusted, utterly and totally disgusted with how we have jerked our democracy around into some kind of a strange pretzel that will not work. You cannot treat democracy like an enemy. Democracy requires people to disagree with each other, make some kind of an adjustment, and keep walking in the same direction. But when we turn it into a conflict, democracy will die. And it's on its way right now out the door. And we better watch out.
Hmm. Well, this was more than 2 years ago. I imagine what he would have to say today.
Yeah. No telling. He was quite a gentleman, though.
And I'm sure that one of the reasons, Steve, that you were so impressed with him and being with him is the fact that you're an actor yourself.
A little bit.
A little bit. Tell us a little bit more about that. I'm not sure that everybody's well aware of that.
Well, it's because I'm not very successful, Don. Thank you for pointing that out. I never really acted till I was way in my 30s. I was hosting the morning show at a news talk station in Alton, Illinois, WBGZ. And these people came on. I hosted an hour of Let's Talk. And these people came on, they were producing this play, and they came on to promote it and talk about it. And after our interview was over, the director just started looking at me and goes, I have this part in this play you'd be perfect for. I had never acted before and was scared to death, but I ended up doing it. And so that resulted in – then after that, I did one or two theater plays a year for about 10 years. And then about 10 years ago, I started acting, you know, in small-time film work, and I've done that ever since. In fact, I have a movie coming out at the end of the year, early next year. There's a St. Louis-based filmmaker by the name of Eric Stanzi, Wicked Pixel Cinema, and he does these horror films, and he really has a fan base around the world if you like that kind of stuff. And this is my third one I've done for him. It's called In Memory Of. And I have this scene with the star, and what happens is the star is involved in some kind of horrendous mass killing, horrible murder, and she takes off for a car trip to escape across the wild trip across the country to get away. And late one night, when it's very dark, she pulls into this deserted gas station. Mm-hmm. And I'm there, sort of like a hobo vagabond. I offer some money if she'll take me down the road. Mm-hmm. Then this scene plays out, and you don't really know if I was ever there to begin with.
Oh.
So In Memory Of. Coming out soon.
What was Four Way Stop all about? That's another one.
Right. That won some awards in St. Louis and at the San Francisco Film Festival. It was a story that Effie DeSilva, I actually worked with her at STL TV. You know, I've done a mm-hmm. public affairs show there for 17 years, City Corner. And she was actually an intern there like 20 years ago. Well, she moved to New York. She's become a filmmaker. And I didn't remember her. And so I just had seen this audition, and I went not knowing anything about it. And it sort of was a story that mirrored Michael Brown and Ferguson, although it was all done before that and has nothing to do with Michael Brown or Ferguson. But it was a story about a young black kid growing up in an urban area, and he was a good kid, but he had bad influences, and he was just trying to get ahead, and nobody will give him a break. And so he goes to apply for a job one day, and it's this business office, and people aren't taking him seriously because, well, you know, he doesn't have khaki pants. He happens to be black. So he's just not going to fit in. Mm-hmm. And he sits there and he watches other people come go, and he knows he's being excluded. So he finally bursts into my office to confront me. And that's my scene in Four Way Stop.
Yeah, well, that's how many credits do you have now?
I have an IMDb page. I don't know, 12 or something.
Oh, terrific. Mm-hmm. Terrific. Now you've got time to do more of that.
Yes.
But let's change the pace a little bit and get away from some of these horror pictures that you've been involved in. I know you're old enough to remember Peter, Paul, and Mary. And
of course, because when I was young, you know, when I became a teenager in 1968, Peter, Paul, and Mary, all those groups,
yep.
I always idolized them. Well, one day on Cityscape, when would this have been? October of 2006. Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary was in town for something. I don't remember why, but they booked him on Cityscape, and he came in and brought his guitar. And you know my excellent, well-thought-out, prepared, rehearsed introductions, Don?
Of course.
Yes.
We're all familiar.
Well, we're going to play this clip, and you'll hear me go into my thing, and he just, like, jumps in with his guitar. Now, I want you to listen. He's making up the song, but he puts my name and KWMU in the song he's playing, and it was fun. Well, usually, you know, when you say your next guest needs no introduction, that sounds a little corny, but I'm tempted. Let me do say, though, that as one third of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
The magic dragon, this will introduce me now. And then people won't have to ask you, my friend Stephen Potter, and show you how unnecessary it will be. Be it come KWMU today. So I interrupted you, but you had fun anyway.
I guess I could just leave now because you obviously don't need me. That's Peter Yarrow, and we're so excited to have you here. Welcome to Cityscape, Peter.
I'm delighted to be here, and I understand that you are one of the programs that really enriches this town a great deal. I congratulate you. You've had 5 years. See how much I've done my homework.
My goodness. And I didn't tell you to say that either.
Steve Potter and Peter Yarrow. We'll be hearing more from Peter Yarrow just before we say goodbye. Now, I'm told, Steve, as time for us winds down here, that the word retirement is not one that you want to be using in connection with your departure.
Did you say something?
I said that word, the
retirement.
R word. The R word.
You know, whenever they start sending you the ARP stuff when you're still in your 50s, I actually subscribed and got the magazine. Mm-hmm. After a few months, they were sending me articles about old people. So I canceled it, sent them my card back. Yeah, I've got a mental block. No.
But you don't know precisely what you're going to do. I know you're a gardener. I see on Facebook you have a lot of action in your garden, which is beautiful, by the way.
I send garden updates, which I'm very well known for. Yeah, no, I got a few irons in the fire, but nothing I can say now because nothing's definite. So I'm exploring my possibilities.
All right. You're going to keep on with the HEC show?
STL-TV.
STL-TV show.
For the time being, no plans not to.
Is there a moment that stands out when you look back, and I'm sure you've done a lot of it, looking back at this career and the numerous people that you've interviewed, celebrities and otherwise, that is one that is so firmly imprinted you'll never forget it?
There's a couple. People probably don't remember Stan Freberg. You would.
Oh, absolutely.
The comedian Stan Freberg.
Sure.
He did those albums, The United States of America.
Oh.
He was very famous. And I admired him all my life, and I grew up with those records as a teenager and listened to them in my record player. And this was before I worked here. I went out – a friend of mine was having an art show in Los Angeles, so I went out to see it and spent a few days. And ahead of time, I thought the station I was working at played – he had a nationally syndicated program called When Radio Was, where you play old radio stuff. So I called his people up, and long story short, he told me to come over. So when I was in L.A., I went over to his place, to his house. It was a condo, and sat across him at his kitchen table and interviewed him for about 45 minutes. So this wouldn't mean anything to anybody but me, but as someone I admired when I was 14 years old, finally I was in his house talking to him one-on-one, and I've had a lot of experiences like that. So that's really special.
Yeah, Stan Freberg is very much associated with old-time.
And his son, remember the kid with the long hair that did the Encyclopedia Britannica commercials about 20 years ago? That was his son.
Really?
How many
roads? We're going to say goodbye now, Steve Potter.
That's Peter Yarrow, right?
That's Peter Yarrow. And we'll,
Don, it's been a pleasure. And I just want to thank everybody here and people that are listening now. I've had a wonderful time. It means a lot to me, and I've enjoyed it.
Well, we've all enjoyed working with you, and we hope, as they say, you are not a stranger.
Thanks,
we'll get
Don.
To see it, whether it's on the silver screen, in your garden, or visiting us back.
Just drop by my house, all right?
Steve Potter, thank you so much. Best of luck to you in that R word.
Thank you.
In the future, let me put it that way. That's it for us. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Programs produced by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, Kelly Moffitt. Production assistance from Aaron Dorr, Char Dastin, Spencer Reed. Executive producer Robert Peterson. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.